Thanks for coming out to hear the word. If we only speak the word or read the word, that's good, you know, because God said, study my word and you will be approved one of these days. For the past 4 weeks, we have been having some good speakers. Peter started out the month with serving God. I don't know if you remember that, our devotion downstairs. Then our brother Gerard DiMatteo last week speak of worship. And again this morning, Phil spoke last Sunday night on forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness. And this morning, Greg spoke on, again, worship. Tonight, I want to just look at, taken from Peter, a servant of God. One who was a Jew, one who was not saved, one who was persecuting the brethren, the Christians, and one who had his mind set on changing things, you know, not knowing that he was really doing the wrong thing, but God met him on the way. We know who that is. But where I'm going with this is that this one, he was on his third missionary journey to Asia, because he went to Asia and he preached the word of God. And you read this in your Bible. All the people in Asia heard the word of God. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. And here again, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was hurrying to go there before the day of Pentecost. And everywhere he went, Every assembly went, because these were, you know, churches that was up and running because they had elders. And they were telling him not to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because chains and beatings and so forth await him. But he listened, and sometimes he get frustrated, and sometimes he even answered them. So, while he went back on his third missionary journey, and we're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, we see a lot of things that Paul did or happened to him. And while he was near, he didn't want to go back to Ephesus, because there was a big uproar there. And so he bypassed Ephesus and came to Miletus. You got to read this for yourself. You know, give you some little homework to do to say if I was reading the right thing. And then you can come back and say, no, you didn't do that. You know, but that's all right. But these are some of the things that we do. We make checks and balances, you know. And that is a good thing. He was in Miletus, and then he sent for the elders from Ephesus to come to him, because he knew what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. And so he wanted to see them maybe for the last time, to look in their face and to tell them that you will not see me again. He speaks of himself, his life before them. Paul talks about his ministry and his coming suffering at Jerusalem. He warns the church of coming apostasy and false teaching in their midst. Paul tells them that they will see him no more. He loved them. He encouraged them, and he exhort them. So let's look at the book, Acts chapter 20, and we're going to start reading from verse 17. I'm going to read in stages, and then I just pick the verses that we are going to be encouraged by. One of the things that Paul did when he was there, he in the earlier verses in the chapter, the first thing he did, he stayed in there for 7 days. Why? Because on the seventh day, it was the first day of the week, and he wanted to break bread with the local believers there. And he did that. He did that. He also took money or offering to the saints in Jerusalem. And that was a good thing. Paul also came. He spoke to them from 9:10 to midnight. And during that meeting, someone fell out of a window and died. Some say he didn't die, but he died. Paul went down and put his hands on him, or his old body over him, and he revived. And when I want you to read that between verse 7 and 9, when he came back, they broke bread and then he ate. I'm saying, was that the breaking of bread that he was supposed to do when they came together? Or this was the regular eating? So that's something else we can look in, and then you can tell me, because I know what I think about that. Okay, let's read verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always live among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Oh, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaiming it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testify in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." We'll just stop there for a minute. You see, the Apostle Paul knew what was going to happen, but he didn't take it to himself, because you see, he was committed to the work of God. He was committed also to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was committed to his ministry. Yes? Are we like that? Or should we, as a Christian, be like that? The first thing he said, or in verse 20 he said, or even 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials that happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Oh, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." And here was this one who was humble. I think of myself coming to you here at this chapel, a foreigner, a poor guy, one who has no mother here, one who has very little relative. But here, the Church of Jesus Christ took care of me. And I can call names: Aaron Moy. Reach out his hand and help us. Joy, remember that. But here was the apostle. He was so committed that nothing could stop him. He wanted to show that here, the Lord has given me this ministry, and I am going to do it the best way I can. And in doing that, he showed them in humility. in tears. I think of our elders here. A lot of time they cry. You don't see them. When last one of you have said, thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Phil. Or so forth. Yeah, this one was going to go away. He wasn't going to see these elders no more. Because remember, he was with these elders 3 years working with them. Right? So in 3 years, you must know the guy. He was in that, when he came to the Jews, they run him. He was there for 3 months and they run him. He went to a school there and taught for 2 years. And so, in all, he was there in Ephesus for 3 years, teaching, preaching, both in the synagogue and from house to house. Because the small assemblies were literally more brethren. You know, the new church. You see, in Acts, this is between Paul and Peter. If you read the first 12 verses of Acts, this is the Apostle Peter and Paul in some chapters. But from, for say, verse 13 to the end, it's just the Apostle Paul, because the Jews didn't want to hear him. You see, his ministry was to the Jews and the Greek or the Gentiles, and the Jews didn't want to hear him. And so he shook his clothes and said, "The blood, your blood be on your head, and I will go to the Gentiles." And he did that. So the record is here for us. This one came to this place, Ephesus, and he teach, he encourage, he show love. And then I can say this here, that he was well acquainted with the brethren there. Committed. Committed. We should be committed for the Lord. Let's go on. Verse 24. Here he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." That he was in Asia. You know, that is it. And he speak the whole country there. Everybody hear the gospel. That's why he's saying that there once. I'm innocent. Can we say that? No, because sometimes, you know, the Spirit is saying, talk to this one, talk to that. But we are so afraid that you are going to be, you know, spit upon, maybe get quarrel or said, "I don't want to hear nothing from you." And you're ashamed or so forth. But he didn't shame. His life, God gave him life, and he was willing to give that life for God. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." That's our brother Paul. And he did that because he was obedient to the word of God. He was obedient to God. He was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was obedient to the ministry. Are we like that, dear ones? We should be. We should be. Because, you know, if we are not obedient, we are not doing really the work of God. If we are not doing, we are doing our ministry and we are not doing it with love and gentleness and peace and quietness, and do what you do in your little corner, then we are not obeying God. But this one, was obedient to the word of God. So he leave these example for us to follow. You know, I can see the elders, you're going to see it, you know, they're just cringing, tears coming down, I would say, you know. And they listen to him because he's saying that, you're going to see me no more. And this one was a great speaker, a great encourager, one who obeyed God, one who was committed to the gospel, one who listens to the elders. And he was doing that. Obedience means doing what the Lord Jesus said you are to do. Not going away from it, not going around the corner, but doing what he said or what is asked of you. Let's go on reading. And there are verses here that tell us that our brother did these things. You know, he did the work. The day of Pentecost, if you look at Acts 2, 1 and 2, it tells you that Paul was ordained to be there. And then, speaking of the word of God, Acts 19, 8 and 10, it shows you that this one spread the word in Asia, and it tells you that everyone, everybody, or every individual in Asia hear the word of God. That doesn't say they all got saved, but it said everyone hear the word of God. You can read that for yourself. Acts 21, 13 to 4. So I see the apostle as an obedient servant of God, one who carries his ministry and deliver it. Let's read on verse 28. Therefore, now he is going to really encourage the elders, or he's going to charge them with protecting the flock. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among you yourself, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples for themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So, now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So it's just amazing, you know. Here was one who was going up to Jerusalem, and he was going to maybe die, and he didn't care. It didn't matter. But here he was encouraging those who he was going to be left behind. He said, what he said? Therefore, first of all, take heed to yourself. That is us. Us, the elders, the trustees. Yes, because trustees, you know, you step up and become elders. Yeah, those who do work around the church, those who do things that encourage the believers. Take care of yourself first. That means reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, day by day. Get down on your knees and pray for the believers. And we do that. Pray for one another. We do that. We have our private closet, our bedroom, or wherever we do that. We do that to encourage one another. And then it said, first of all, to yourself, and then to the flock among you, you know, individual believers. Yeah, the individual believer, those who are weak, those who are frail, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the nursing home, those who are where they need somebody to come and say, "Hi, how are you today?" You know? And these are things that we are supposed to do, but sometimes we are not doing it, or we can't get to do it because of other things. But these are some of the things that the apostle warned the elders about. Take care of flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, first to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Yeah, it's not a order from us or down here. Paul is telling them this, but this was something that God gave his son, and he went to the cross and died there, shed his blood for each and every one of us. And so this is why the Apostle Paul is saying, shepherd the flock, remember each individual, take care of them, look out for them, and see that they are doing the right thing. And then in between that, the Lord Jesus has purchased them, purchase you, purchase me, with his own blood, with his own blood. And then he warned them again. He continued to warn them, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Why? Because they want them to follow them. You know, they want the flock to follow those who are these savage wolves. Thinking about people who come in with their kind of gospel, you know, these are what he's saying here. But the elders are supposed to watch out for these ones and take care that the flock does not fall into this kind of situation. "Also, from among yourself, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples for themselves. Therefore, watch." First of all, we are to watch. Watch and see what's happening. Be careful. Look out for each one. And then remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I would think, you know, sometime, I don't know if it's happening here, but sometime it does. Not here in this meeting, but in America. But in Jamaica, you find prayer meeting that people are literally crying their hearts out. I mean, I've been to prayer meeting where, you know, people really cry. And when they're crying for someone's testimony, someone's life, someone who is a child or who is not safe. Yeah. And they're seeing that these ones are going the wrong way. They tried to have a whole night prayer meeting like the Apostle Paul. They do that there in Jamaica sometime. I don't know about now, but they did in the early days. And some of these prayer meeting and talking, you know, turn around these people. And so these are some of the things that the Apostle was encouraging the elders. Verse 32, he says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God." Now he's commending them to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And then he said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel." And in this little these couple of verses, I see the apostle faithfulness. He's faithful to the word. He's faithful to the elders. He's faithful to his ministry. And he's faithful to God. Are we like that, dear ones? We should be. We should be. And day by day as we walk, closer, we will get there. By prayer and by supplication to Him, He will steer us through. You see, do you remember, even in Acts here, I think it's three times, the Apostle Paul wasn't like that. But when he got saved, when the Lord met him, he turned around. And you remember when he was before King Agrippa? He stood up and he gave King Agrippa his testimony, how he got saved. He wasn't ashamed of that. You see, he knows where he was going. He was committed to the word. He knew that the Lord gave him a message to go in the world and preach the gospel. And he did that. And then he was obedient to the word. He was obedient to what the Lord told him to do. He continued to do that. And then his faithfulness to the word of God. We should be like that. Day by day as we go, most of you are. I'm just speaking to the choir here tonight. We are. Because if you wasn't faithful, you wouldn't be out to the meeting tonight. If you're not sick or have other plans, you know. Faithful. Faithfulness. Yeah. Jerry called you and said, can you meet me tomorrow? And I said, yes. And tomorrow come, Jerry's out there waiting and waiting. And then I get a call and said, where are you? And then I said, oh, I forgot. It happened, dear ones. It happens. But the Apostle Paul, he didn't forget. He remembered this was his last trip through this area. And he wanted to see the brethren there. He made special arrangement, although it was like, maybe the book said, maybe about 30, 35 miles from Ephesus, where he was in Miletus. And so it wasn't a far distance for them to walk. So it might take some time, but they did get there. You see? And they listened. They turned up because they was interested. And then when they went to see him, they hear this big news. Oh, you're not going to see my face no more. Why? Because they're telling me not to go. And they say, await me up there. And the beating and whatever else was going to happen. But he said, none of this moved me. I know I'm going to die one of these days. But my life doesn't matter. I'm going to do what the Master said. And he committed himself. He obeyed the word of God. He was faithful. And now he's encouraging the brethren at the last. He said, I've coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Why? Because remember, the Apostle Paul, he had a job. He was a tent maker. Right? We're going to read that down there. So he didn't, although he was a poor man, the Lord gave him a trade. And he worked on that trade. So that why? He could support those who follow him. He could support the weak. He could support the poor. He could support the homeless. And so forth. You see where I'm going? Because here he was. You know, you have maybe people who does that. But the Apostle Paul wasn't like that. He worked with his hands. And he showed the brethren how to do this. Maybe working with your hands, with your brain, with your feet. Whatever you do, do it so that you can help the poor. Or help the homeless. Help somebody. So that the good Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Here he says it. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that perfect? Yeah, most of the time we do that too. Our brother and our sister is in foreign land. The church helps to support them. They send a gift. Oh, they're glad to get these things. You don't know when somebody's on a foreign field. When I visited Mike in Jamaica, when I stopped out there, you got to stay for lunch or dinner, and you know, they're ready to show you hospitality because you're like one of them from America. You're coming to say, how are you doing? How are you getting on? Is life okay? Are you getting in difficulty? And so forth. Yeah. So you help those who are in need. Those who are less fortunate. Those who are needy. Not somebody who's looking for something to, you know, help themselves. No, the Lord will tell you, we are not fools. We know who is needy from who is not. And here, he continued to encourage the brethren. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. He got it off his chest. He was finished. He told them what he wanted to see them about. You know, it was... I mean, can you imagine that meeting, Jerry? We all in there crying. Huh? Yeah. Here was one who taught us the ministry, taught us the word of God, encourage us, help us, show us how to work, give us food with his hands, with his labor. And here he was. He's here today. He's gone tomorrow. And maybe he didn't die there, but when he went there, chain did reach his hands, and he was persecuted. Yeah, but he wasn't afraid of that. He's ready to die. My life doesn't count, because that one who gave himself for me, he lives forevermore. And he knows that he's going to live too. So here, take my life. Take my life and let it be, right? Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Yeah, he was ready to give his life for the Master. And so we see Paul's encourage the brethren. Let us therefore go out tonight to be committed, to be an example, to be obedient, to be faithful, and to encourage one another. You can read the rest of this chapter. But here was one who knew God. Here was one who God, the Lord Jesus, gave a ministry to. Here was one who didn't go around the corner. Here was one who was willing to stand up for the word of God. He not only stand up, but he encouraged the brethren. A couple of verses, last two verses, and then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Yeah, they all embraced him and said, thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for all that you did for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pray for you. And then, you know, they were telling him in verse 23 over here in the section. Let's see what it said here. I think it's 26. Paul before Agrippa, and Agrippa said to him, Agrippa said to Paul, "You're permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself. He didn't shun himself. He was ready to give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid his blood for him. Dear ones, one of these days, you know, this will pass away. And it's only what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ will survive. The Lord help us to do this until he comes in his name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see the Apostle Paul and the encouragement he had for the believers there. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you for all the benefits we get through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you again, Father, that one day all this shall pass away and we shall be in the presence of our Lord forevermore. Thank you, Father, for each individual here tonight. We thank you that they could come out and hear the word. Father, just help them to continue to read the word and understand it and be encouraged by it. We praise you, Father, for all the goodness you bestowed upon us. And we would even think of those who are not well, but still they come out. We pray, Father, you might continue to draw close them and help them to get back to full health and strength. Thank you, Father, for your word. Encourage our hearts and help us as we go forward to serve you without murmuring. We give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.